When economic bubbles burst, recessions usually follow. In 2001, it was technology stocks. 7 years later, home loans and mortgage-backed securities. Could the next bubble be corporate debt? Joining us now is William Cohan, an author and former investment banker. Bill, you recently wrote an op-ed for the New York Times waving a flag about this, so let's define the problem. We're talking about the $41 trillion corporate bond market, which is bigger than the stock market. Why are so many companies going into debt by issuing these bonds, and who's buying them up?
Sure. I mean, corporations issue bonds to borrow money all the time. They borrow it in the loan market from big banks, who then turn around and syndicate those loans or sell them off to investors all around the world. They issue bonds in the corporate bond market, which is just a security that is then sold as an investment all around the world. And because the Federal Reserve intentionally kept interest rates so low, their so-called zero interest rate policy from, say, 2008 to 2016, investors around the world were very hungry for yield, higher paying bond instruments or loans than they could find in the government treasury market.
And we're talking about individual investors, but also big ones like pension funds, mutual funds, things like that.
Yes. I mean, pension funds, mutual funds, individual investors, college endowments, people, firemen, policemen, people who have their pensions invested, teachers in these kinds of bonds, which they would presume are safe and secure. And, you know, by and large, they are. But unfortunately, what has happened in the 8 years between 2008 and 2016 is that this demand for yield and higher yields drove up the price of bonds. So people were overpaying for bonds in order to get what they thought was a higher yield. Mm. And, you know, that does come back to haunt people, which is why I wanted to write this piece.
All right, let's get specific. You do write about a few companies in that piece, and one is Asurion. It's a cell phone insurance company. You go to them, you buy an insurance plan for your cell phone. What's happening with Asurion?
Well, Asurion is kind of a remarkable company. It is sort of famous on Wall Street for being a small company that was found by a bunch of little and small investors, and it's now been built up into a big company that's owned by three buyout firms that specialize in buying companies and holding them and basically trying to make as much money as they possibly can. Earlier this summer, at the end of June, Asurion issued $3.75 billion worth of loans, loans that also did not are known as covenant light loans, loans that don't have a lot of covenants to protect the investors in them. And the proceeds of that $3.75 billion was used to pay each of the three buyout firms a $1.25 billion dividend. The banks then repackaged that loan into securities and sold them to investors all over the world. And of course, they blew out. They were so popular.
Now, this sounds important for a couple of reasons. Number one, they were using that money to pay off their investors. It wasn't like they were using it to hire new workers or to build a factory, right?
Pure gravy. Pure gravy. I mean, it's like heaven for buyout firms who've owned this company for a number of years and get a return on capital through the bond market, the loan market, without having to take the company public.
Huh.
Not so great for investors, unfortunately.
Well, the other thing that seems concerning about this is you use this term covenant light, cov light loans, also they're known as, which sounds a lot like the loans that banks were giving to homeowners before the 2008 financial crisis, when borrowers really weren't getting vetted the way that they should have been.
Yes, it's similar, certainly in that regard, although not quite that bad, because homeowners were not nearly as sophisticated in their analysis of the kinds of loans they were getting as people who invest in these so-called cov light loans. But covenants are designed to protect investors so that they can get early warning signals when things aren't going particularly well at the company that has borrowed their money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can take action. They can force them to raise more equity. They can force them to sell assets to pay down debt. But without these covenants, there's no red flags. There's no early warning system. And so
fewer protections.
Investors, for their own protection. And they're willing to buy these loans without those protections. It's absolutely astounding. And according to leverageloan.com, nearly 77% of the estimated $1 trillion corporate loan market is now flooded with these cov-lite loans. Again, a signal that investors are so desperate for higher paying interest instruments, debt instruments, that they're willing to overlook many of the traditional protections that they have in the past would never have stood for.
Look, this corporate debt is also an issue with bigger companies as well, companies that everybody will recognize. You write about AT&T now saddled with $180 billion in debt after its deal with Time Warner. What's the risk there?
Well, and that ignores about another 80 or so billion dollars of other liabilities that AT&T has that aren't in the form of funded debt. Basically, it just means that AT&T is now the single largest, most indebted non-financial corporate issuer and is completely beholden to the health of the capital markets to refinance that debt, to issue more debt, to find a way to pay the lenders back for what AT&T borrowed from them. And so it's going to require a combination of AT&T continuing to perform operationally, making enough cash flow to pay back that debt. But a lot of that debt comes due and is in excess of the cash flow that the company can generate. And so usually what happens is companies then are dependent on going to the capital markets to do that. But when you're as leveraged as AT&T now is, you are even more beholden upon the capital markets and the health of them. And capital markets do shut down occasionally. I've seen it many, many times in my business career. And that, even if you're AT&T, you can't really refinance debt if the capital markets are shut down.
How does all of this unravel and become potentially a full-blown crisis? You mentioned this idea that access to credit could get much tighter.
It's like a switch. I mean, it's like what Hemingway said about falling in love. A little bit at a time and then all at once. Same with when the bond market, when the capital markets get shut off. Everything seems like it's going along beautifully. The president can talk about how the economy has never been stronger. The unemployment rate has never been lower.
Stock market is way up.
Stock market is way up. And yet it's these kinds of excesses. You know, it may take something like Elon Musk and Tesla with, if any of your listeners have been following that saga and
his,
drama.
His interest in taking the company private and going into debt to do it.
He already has $10 billion of debt. This would require another $25 billion or so debt, even if it were even possible, with a company that has no positive cash flow, no way to really pay off that debt in any reasonable way, except dependent on refinancing it. And so it's that kind of thing that could trigger the market. And all of a sudden, people realize that they've been taking too much risk and they've been allowing too many covenant-lite situations or other situations to go on, thinking that the world, the trees were going to grow to the sky, but they don't.
That's the thing. We think trees will grow to the sky until they don't. And so the question is, how do you convince the banks or these companies to put the brakes on this, and do something different, maybe be more restrictive in the debt that they're issuing?
It's really tough. And it's really tough because the incentive systems on Wall Street do not give people a lot of credit for saying, hey, we're taking too much risk. People on Wall Street are rewarded to take big risks with other people's money. That has not changed after the financial crisis. That has not changed in 2018. And it really takes some strong leadership on Wall Street at the coming from the CEO level through the credit departments of these big companies to say, you know what, we're not going to issue these kinds of loans. We're not going to underwrite these risky securities. We're not going to do it. But unfortunately, on Wall Street, one firm can say they won't do it or two firms can say they won't do it. But there's always a firm that is willing to do it. Yeah. The question is, when it goes too far, the market just cracks, as it did in 2007 with the mortgage market, as it did in 1991 with Citibank and United Airlines buyout. Nobody rings a bell and says, this is the moment when it's over. It just happens.
And then the crisis is here.
Exactly. And then the market's shut down, and not even the best companies, not even the finest credits can get access to the capital markets.
That's William Cohan, author and former investment banker. Bill, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, Peter. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.